Hello, survivors, and welcome to A Moment of Relief, the first aid spray show where we get together for a laid-back chat about basically whatever we like. This is a little different to our usual 2 to 4 hour game reviews, and instead we take an opportunity to give some hot takes, discuss theories, talk about our hopes and desires for whatever topic is on the table. And before we reveal the topic today, I must introduce my fellow FAS fam members for this episode. We have Steve.
Hello, everybody.
And we have James.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, both of you. It's lovely to see you. Yeah, this is my first time hosting Animore. We thought we'd give Steve the day off. Well, not day off. We still turn up, but you're not in charge. Yeah. You're on relaxed duty today. But this is a moment of relief. So no game review today, listeners and watchers. We're taking some time to talk about something that doesn't actually exist yet. But we know that many people in the Resident Evil community, including us, we want to will this into existence.
Yes, manifest.
And that is, yes, manifest. And that is a Resident Evil animated adaptation that is not CG.
That's very clear. Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, animated adaptation, and lots of people were like, well, there's loads of them. What are you talking about? Like, no. We're gonna get into it today. So we're gonna go through it, what we think about it, and you know what this is gonna do for the franchise, what we want from it, and everything. Let's start, Steve.
Yeah, hello.
An animated, a non-CG animated Resident Evil adaptation. Why is this a good idea? What could this do for Resident Evil as a franchise?
I mean, they already want to do like the big multimedia thing, don't they? I mean, they've got mangas, they have the CG movies that we're not really that keen on, the live action movies, video games, novels, audio dramas, stage plays, musicals. So it's only right that we should get at least one video game animated adaptation. But I'm going to ask one question. What's the target audience, age group wise? Because this has been ringing around my head all day. Like, we're all going to say something along the lines of maybe Castlevania or Cyberpunk Edgerunners or something as a general guideline. But we have had video game adaptations before then that weren't aimed at the actual target audience. They were aimed at, like, younger adults and children. And they still sometimes hit in the right direction. I won't say they were great, but you had, like, the likes of the... Not the Donkey Kong show, although that is a thing that exists. It's an abomination. Let's ignore that. But Mortal Kombat, Defenders of the Realm, right? As a kid, it's okay. As an actual thing you watch as a fan and adult of Mortal Kombat, not so much. But then there's your obviously more mature takes. Like, what is it? The DC Animated Universe and things like that. Things that can encompass wider media and then compress it to make it more digestible for, you know, teens and above. Feel like discussing what our ideal show would target. In Resident Evil's case, I want to say 15 and above, your teens and above demographic. And there's a lot of good examples there. Realistically, yeah. I think the tentpoles obviously are the Netflix video game ones, really. But even then, there have been some missteps. For example, Onimusha, which is, you know, that pseudo anime CG, and Dragon's Dogma. I haven't seen it myself, but James swears it's not as good as it could have been.
So bad. it looks half baked the entire bloody show. There are some moments of like the shining beacons in that show, but yeah, it's like there is with a lot of animations when it comes to adaptations, there is always just the half-assedness of it. You know, they don't go all the way. They kind of lose it. Like with Dragon's Dogma, for instance, the biggest thing that broke my heart was, it's called Dragon's Dogma, and the dragon looks crap. It looks when you see kind of like the BTS of animes and CG and video games, and they have the model there, you know, and they have all the, you know, the X and the Y axes, and they're moving it around. It just looked like that, and they hadn't kind of baked it. But we want something that is also fully realized. We can see the passion in there. We can see like the, you know, that it feels like it's within the Resident Evil universe as well. And that goes into something I was going to talk about, which is kind of the freedom of the creative process, you know, because and new fans. I mean, Resident Evil has had so many new fans brought in. When you take into account if they made an animation, you take into account what we just spoke about. Edgerunners is also Arcane. There's people. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a lot of people who don't even play League of Legends.
100%. Like, yeah.
Who love Arcane, right? I mean, yeah. I'm one of those people now. I don't play League, right? But like Arcane,
there's people who don't know what League of Legends is. Yeah. That love Arcane. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is something you want with Resident Evil animation show as well. You want people to come in. It feels mature, but it also doesn't feel like it's treating you like a child either, which is what Edgerunners and it's what Arcane did and it's what Castlevania did. It wants to keep to the same demo as the games do, you know, video games do. You want to keep that there. I think mostly for me, it's a creative process. It's being able to do whatever you want because video games are there. You know, you can do whatever you want. You know, if you're given the budget, you can go anywhere with it. I feel like CG, it's been mainly they're all the same. They've kept the consistency in terms of keeping Leon and Chris as the main characters. But like, they also don't feel like they're within the universe, like of the video games.
They've got like the cliff notes of the characters, but then they feel like super over the top variants, right?
Exactly. It's kind of sad because, you know, we can see that you can, with CG, you can go that far. Like, I mean, Arcane, you know, it's hand-drawn, but it's also a really beautiful amalgamation of CG and hand-drawn. You know, it's absolutely gorgeous. And we've seen another, like, Blue Eye Samurai as well, as having a very similar kind of style to it as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, James, you've basically like hit the nail on the head for me. Like, going this route, the biggest part for me is what you can do in animation that you can't, you know, technically you can do whatever you want in CG, but the problem is if you go the CG animated route that the existing Resident Evil movies have done, they push for a, you know, hyper real. This looks real. These look like real humans. There's no stylization. You know, you mentioned Arcane. That's CG, but it's fully stylized. It's
like watercolor kind of vibe to it, right?
Exactly. So they can take more liberties with reality, and that's what you can do in an animated style. It doesn't matter that something doesn't look real if it's stylized, which is why I'm always going to prefer a stylized route. Video games are different because, you know, obviously there's different styles of graphics in video games, but the Resident Evil games themselves are a different experience. You're playing them and but when you're seeing it in those CG movies, you feel more detached from it, and you just think it's just like I'm watching a long video game cutscene that I'm not getting to take part in. So that's why those movies have never really worked for me. But if you just think about what's one of the biggest parts of Resident Evil, it's the BOWs, right? Yeah. So, we can create this incredible CG model of a BOW. Yes, that looks fantastic. And yeah, all this kind of stuff. But for me, for my money, you can produce a much more terrifying, a much more atmospheric, much more interesting BOW in a stylized animated route, like something that Arcane does, and, you know, or some of the others that you mentioned, Steve. And I just think, aside from the fact that this is so on trend at the moment, you know, I thought Netflix was supposed to be, you know, like slashing their animation budgets and stuff, but they seem to be doing more and more. And
you can see where they have cut up some corners with Netflix of late.
I just think for Resident Evil, where we've been beaten over the head for years with the live-action movies, those adaptations, and the CG movies, and don't get me wrong, I know lots of people love those things. It's so strange to me that they haven't gone this route yet, when specifically when Resident Evil is always, to me, very much of its time, where that kind of animation was always popular. It blows my mind that they didn't do this in 1999 off the popularity of the games, because that's what other people were doing. And Yeah, everybody's, like I say, it's on trend. People are loving, you know, Castlevania and Arcane. And, you know, even like He-Man has got a new series. It's got a second season on Netflix. And animation is very on trend. And for somebody like me who's been very disheartened with the adaptations from Resident Evil, this 2D animated route, I think, will garner a lot of attention and raise some eyebrows. You know, I'd sort of raise some intrigue, I should say, to people that have written Resident Evil off for a long time on the screen, because you show a few frames of this style of animation in Resident Evil and people are going to take notice. So I think it's a route that could do so much for the franchise.
Definitely. Definitely. They do. Like, you, I mean, yeah, one and only, I promise. Only Alien reference, but...
Thanks, John.
I have a picture on my wall behind me. Somebody who did a Pixar rendition, like a frame. They made a whole collection of these frames that were very like Pixar oriented, and you wouldn't think, and yes, it wouldn't work, you know. But when that arrived on the internet by Monica Ion, if you want to go check her out, everyone lost their minds because they're like, "Wow, yeah, it's kind of, you know," and then. You had the AVP Netflix show as well, which we've seen small snippets of. It look great. Every time there's, this could be made into an animation, people lose their minds because it's like suddenly, you know, the possibilities are endless. You know, you can really get into it. Like you reminded me of something, Kels, while you were talking, and that was there is an element of what's the word? It's your expectation is less when it's an animation, right? Because it's an animation, you know?
Yeah.
You're sitting there to enjoy it. You know, it's you got your bright colors, you got your cel-shaded lines.
It's
easier
to suspend that disbelief with everything that's on the screen.
Exactly, yeah. That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, and Capcom, literally, as you said, they've tried everything else. They've even done stages. Two of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's
one was a musical, but
you know, it's like you know, come on, Capcom.
Okay.
Let's say.
Question.
Oh, yeah. Go on, Steve. No, go ahead.
I was going to just say, like, if we're going to go, if we're all agreed that CG is generally considered maybe not the best route for an animated, you know, an animated Resident Evil series, is there a particular style one would particularly see in their mind's eye? Like, you know, doesn't necessarily have to be, yes, it looks like this anime that I watched this one time.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm curious. Like,
yeah,
that's
exactly where I was going to go next anyway. I mean, the fact that, see, it's funny because 2D animation isn't inherently cheaper. It just takes longer. So it's why so much stuff is CG, despite how expensive CG is. You can turn around stuff much quicker. But in terms of getting into the nitty gritty of the style, I mean, we've all sort of mentioned a few shows that we like. But for me, like I said, the key thing is Resident Evil being of its time and that atmosphere that you can kind of produce in things like Batman the Animated Series and the DC animated stuff, but then even goes further. Like, when I think about like the 90s cartoons or even 80s cartoons like Turtles and Biker Mice from Mars and stuff like this, just the way the lines are done, you know, the way the outlines are done, the way the colors are done, the contrast, the sort of the more kid-friendly stuff was less noir-y because it was kid-friendly, but you know, the DC stuff is where it leads into the more kind of noir style. But for me, because I'm so Resident Evil is so entrenched in 90s and being of that period, not that I can't see it working in anything else, but when I picture it in my mind, that's what comes to me, is those hard black lines with contrasted colors from something like the DC shows of the 90s, early 2000s at the latest, but late 80s, where it looks a bit scruffy, I suppose. It looks a bit ragged, and as sleek and fantastic and unbelievable as something like Arcane is, like, it's so beautiful, and it's the reason why people that don't even know what League of Legends is love it, because it's incredibly well done. Yeah, it's incredibly beautiful to look at. But for me, I don't necessarily want that. I would love to see a new animated Resident Evil series or movie, which we'll talk about more in a minute, that looks like it was made in 1999, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm on board. Like, obviously, I'm not the authority on this, but like, so if I was made creative director on this, my two go-tos would probably be
Can
something
only
in the
hope.
DCAU, you know, that something in the DCAU like Justice League Unlimited or whatever as a general primer, but the monsters and stuff, maybe something a bit more evocative like Men in Black. The animated series of Men in Black
Yes.
had a lot of
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
embellished shapes and, you know, very peculiarness to it in the way they looked. It de definitely, as the kids say, a solid vibe. It had all the riz.
Well, before we started recording, yes. Wow, Steve, you're very down with
All
it
the
today.
riz.
Before we started recording, James and I were quickly touching on it. I said it's kind of funny because how, like, Japanese animation isn't what I can massively appreciate. But it isn't necessarily my thing when I think about my favorite stuff that I love. But a lot of the stuff I do love, although Western animation draws so much influence from Japanese animation, and it's funny because Resident Evil is obviously a Japanese IP, but which it builds a Western world and a Western storyline with Western characters. And it's almost, to me, it's just like it just makes perfect sense that it would have that Western style that draws from the Japanese, you know, influences. James, what do you think about style particularly? What do you want it to look like, or not look like?
So for all, yeah, so I have lists because I love lists.
No, that's fine.
I see all of you anime lovers scrapping at the bit to talk about, so I'm here for
It's
you,
a bit on the
okay?
anime these days. Let's do something new. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
So yeah, me and Cal were talking just before the podcast or just before the show about what is in our mind's eye about what it is, and it's very similar to you, Kels, except I want cleaner lines, and I want bright colors, I want contrasts, like you said, and there are some studios that do that now, and in Japan, and they also tend to lean towards the Western kind of feel
Look.
theme.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Yeah, like I have one big one for me, but like just some kind of honorable mentions for me, and these are very obvious to anime fans, but you got Studio Bones, who make Fullmetal Alchemist, Mob Psycho, My Hero Academia. It does lose a little bit, like they're very action orientated. Although Resident Evil is very action oriented, I think you need those slow down moments, and they're very action oriented.
One
You
hundred
got
percent, yeah.
MAPPA, who make Jujutsu Kaisen, Banana Fish, Dorohedoro.
Attack on Titan, or is that not MAPPA?
That was MAPPA. Yeah, I think that was they did season four. Yeah, it was who was it who did season one? I can't remember, but Wit Studio did
Yeah.
season one and season two. But yeah, that wouldn't also lend towards Resident Evil at all, I don't think, like the Wit Studio side of things. But MAPPA, they have very clean lines, and sometimes you can get dirty as well, which I think is nice. I think one we've mentioned a few times, and that's Powerhouse, who make Castlevania, Blood of Zeus. They're also working on other stuff too. To
Do
bring
we
it
know
back to
who's
kind
doing? Do we? Sorry to interrupt. Do we know
of.
who's doing Devil May Cry
I think
yet?
it's Powerhouse. I
Is
think.
it not the
Yeah,
same
it must
folks who
be.
did Castlevania? Which,
I think so. Yeah, it's
yeah.
Powerhouse. Okay, yeah. Sorry to interrupt, James.
And just as we were talking there, because you were talking about having kind of a 90s aesthetic, which immediately reminded me of Berserk from 1997. Which, although it does show its age now, it's still the de facto anime of Berserk I want to watch. Other than the movies as well, I don't know if Teamaguchi are still around, but yeah, they that's also kind of a call out. But my top one is a studio called Production IG, who
Yes,
they've
across the
done
shell.
Ghost in the Shell, Haikyuu, which is
Course,
very it's very real. But also they have a little bit of play there. You got Psycho Pass, but they've also worked in video games. They worked in Persona 5, Kid Icarus, Tekken 3 back in the day as well.
That's
So they've worked in the you know they've worked in the in the, in the space as well.
makes
I
sense.
think they're a great fit for it. It would be nice to have more Western studios, but the Japanese, they just do it so well.
I'm not saying they don't. Like
their work ethic is in question at the moment, so I'm hoping they improve. They improve with that in the future.
Like if I could pick, if I could pitch, and it wasn't, if it was for a Japanese like artistry, you know, I would think again, 90s or 80s is the evocative way to go. Like the aesthetic of Fist of the North Star, Vampire Hunter D, or I'm not sure who did Dirty Pair Project Eden. I want to say it's Toei. It might have been like Sunrise or Sunbow or whatever it's called. They changed names and stuff, but because that was like the 80s, but it's a fantastically phenomenally animated film. That is exactly the kind of aesthetic I go for. You know, the 80s anime aesthetic, quote unquote. But that in a modern age is next to impossible, because it's there's a messiness to it because it's cell animated versus the more meticulously crafted stuff they get now. An imperfectness I feel would help make the monsters, especially if it's using the anime look. You can't have bioweapons that look neat and pristine. It just kind of takes the edge away for me.
Yeah, in my animation studios not to pick, that was mostly the reason why, is because they're too clean. Like, I think, forgive me, I never know how to say their name, but I think it's Ufotable, who make Demon Slayer. It's way too clean for me. And, like, Studio Ghibli can't have Studio Ghibli. Too wholesome, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, we say that, those RE4 ads were f***ing amazing.
They were.
They were putting forward that tone though, Steve, weren't they?
Again, it doesn't have to be in universe and grim dark if we go a certain route.
It can be done. I mean, we've seen like Studio Ghibli have done some gross stuff. Like I think that's the thing with them, is that most of their stuff is
anything that's not human, and Princess Mononoke kind of goes that way.
Yeah, they can do it, but it is kind of clean at the same time.
Yeah.
I think Toei as well, which, although I like it, I don't think it works for Resi too much.
It depends on what they're doing. Like, if it's the Toriyama anime Dragon Ball style, no. But some of their other stuff I think is phenomenal.
Could you give examples? Because I have
Transformers the Movie, James. That was animated by Toei.
The what, sorry?
Transformers the Movie. That was Transformers anime. Admittedly, not many humans.
But they know
how to do a lot of weird and abstract geometric shapes. Okay.
Well, now Chris is in a mech. Who knew?
Why the hell not? He's already punch boulders. He can do multiple in a tank.
He probably will be at this rate with the franchises going. So, you know, you joke, but who knows?
But I like a Ghost in the Shell, Resident Evil kind of style. Perfect for me.
And what I mean, you can take. Few. What you can take from that, and I mean, so if you think about where Resident Evil is set, and we're going to jump in a minute to, we're going to talk specifically about more what would we want it to maybe cover, you know, in terms of story. But if you just think broadly about Resident Evil, where are you set? It's usually somewhere dark and dingy. It's a destroyed building or a sewer, or an old spooky mansion and stuff. And the style I think of, and Steve, before you arrived, James and I were saying, like, he touched on, was when you think of a Resident Evil animated series, you don't have to think for very long about what it's going to look like, which is, to me, is the most kind of wild thing about this, that it hasn't been made, because you're not sat there going, I don't know how this is going to translate to animation. We're not saying, I'm not going to pull a great example sort of out of my head now, but it's just you're not trying to think of something that there's no way that could translate. With Resident Evil, it's like you can instantly see where it's going to go on, and just in terms of the locations, the spooky mansion, the abandoned police station, the style that I like, as I mentioned, that noir-y style, where picture your BOW, picture Mr. X, right? Oftentimes in that kind of animation, they have a giant shadow right across them. You can only see half of them. There's a BOW where you can get away with hiding a lot. You don't have to necessarily make it make complete sense in that style of animation. If you think of somebody like something like Birkin and the different malformations, that lighting and that, oh yeah, here he is with his hard lines and his bright colors, but actually a lot of it is in shadow, and you would get it. Like, you, I think possibly in Men in Black, Steve, like you mentioned, there's a lot of it in that where it's just so much is covered with the light and shadow. And I think that's perfect for that whole atmosphere side of things. And I don't know if James is putting this one together. I don't know if it's worth maybe chucking some screenshots on top of this
one. Definitely.
I might have to send you some so we could sort of enhance the examples we're talking about, because this is what I see, say Resident Evil anime, and I just, it's like the work is done for you as far as I'm concerned. And it feels like we're all basically on the same page. You know, we've got our little preferences and stuff that we want, but it's right there. And I'm not sure there's many arguments here happening about the style and what this thing should look like. And, you know, Steve wants the Ghibli adaptation, as we've established, but, you know, you know, maybe one day.
We can have multiple different spokes. It doesn't have to be just Resident Evil Earthspark. It could be Resident Evil Rescue Bots or whatever. You know, there's more than...
I mean, I have a suggestion, if it does, because even though I put like Studio Ghibli as a no studio, there is a possibility, right, for me that could be right up their street. Like, and that if we are okay, we can go into our next subject that we have. But
yeah, let's do it. So, what about the what do we want this to cover story wise? Yeah. Do we want it to adapt the games? Do we want it to do a new story in the universe? You know, should it be a movie? Should it be a TV series? So yeah, sound off about that.
So one of my notes is I would love to see a point of view from the angle of an umbrella employee.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a scientist or an admin, you know, general day-to-day life.
A secretary, not a special ops guy.
Exactly. Like, not... I want to... Yeah. I think Studio Ghibli could do that. You know, they're just like, you know, they come to, you know, they just say hi to everybody. It's very like 9 to 5. You know, they go over to the water cooler and they take a sip. And they just start talking about random stuff that's happening in Raccoon City that day. You know, Karen just recently lost her kids or whatever. You know? And then, you know, then everything goes.
William Birkin just streams by.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have cameos, you know. And
you're not doing your job, Barry.
Then slowly get through to the work. Day, it just gets like more and more insane until they start to realize, wait, we need to leave. You know.
Do you want the opening minutes of the live-action Resident Evil film, the first one, when is that poor dickhead who's getting his coffee spilt on him and they got to get to the lift, like that day-to-day in the Umbrella Lab experience?
And then there's a book actually. Was it Underworld? That had a really cool section.
It was a full underground lab thing, right?
Yeah, that's something I really enjoyed, because there would be like little snippets, chapters where you would switch to this guy. I can't remember his name now, but you switch to this guy and he's just living his life as an umbrella employee until things go a little bit sideways.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. Like, and like Steve's mentioned with the Resident Evil 4 things. I mean, and I'm not protective of this stuff. Like, I would watch the shit out of that, you know, and it's just like, and I can accept it for what it is. And as far as story goes, you know, because I don't want to sit here and talk about canon all day, because as I've said many times on other things we've done, it's just like, we know the cliff notes, and these things, these adaptations, as far as I'm concerned, can pretty much do whatever they want. But it'd be nice if they stick to the cliff notes. It's like, it's not called Raccoon City, it's called Zebra City. Like, that's just nonsense, changing stuff like that. But, you know, stick to the cliff notes. For me, I think if they're gonna do this, because they better
manifesting Roman Kells.
Yeah,
manifesting.
when this releases in 2026. For me, I think it has to be a TV series, for two reasons. Because I want it to adapt. This is how, because I've thought about this a lot in my head. I want it to adapt the first game, but not from where the first game opens. I want a series that shows us the weeks leading up to the first game that could potentially cliffhanger on the start of the first game, or could have the main arc of the show, the main sort of, you know, meat of the show is what's happening in the first game, and then you end at a place where it's setting it up for the sequel for Resident Evil 2. But when I think about this noir-y style, Batman the Animated Series, 80s, 90s anime, thinking about like, okay, so they're not at the mansion yet. We've got Jill kind of working after hours in the office. It's raining outside. The rain's beating against the window. You see the coffee-stained papers and stuff. She's doing some after-hours work of stuff that her and Chris have been through. And you just see, the little kind of threads of the story starting to be fed and fill in those gaps. And I think about how at the end of the game where, you know, you see them bursting into Iron's office and stuff, that's all stuff that could be realized in an animated series. Mm-hmm. There's so much story to tell. I think don't do it in just a movie. I think I want to see Resident Evil play out this huge, there's so much to pull on. We could have 10 episode series. We could have 9 seasons of them covering the games, but adding more meat to those bones and giving us those, you know, you talked about the action, James. This allows us to have episodes, not full episodes, but a large chunk of time in episodes where it is just character interaction, talking, seeing some Wesker sneaking off and doing stuff, something happening in the lab, seeing characters introduced. Maybe you meet Birkin, but you don't really see what's going on until season 2. And so I think structurally it needs to be a TV series because there's so much you can cover. And I think that idea of this 90s gritty sort of rough noir-y show, I'm just like, I need this. This is so perfect. It feels like it would be everything that lots of fans have been asking for, which it would give us back that atmosphere and the slow moments and the you could make it scary, you know, actually make it scary and make it bloody, but don't just crunch it into 90 minutes and everyone off. So yeah.
And also throw in the sequel randomly. Welcome yeah. to Raccoon City. Just saying.
That's been a problem with the most recent CGs and stuff is that their pacing is awful.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. We want the slow burn
so much.
It's telling that I feel like all the time Kels is telling me about this backstory stuff, I'm like, yes, we need a reinterpretation that's full screen of Resident Evil the beginning, Biohazard the beginning, some way, shape, or form. Like, I know that that's not generally going to be considered canon these days, but that was like a run up to. And like, hearing about, say, there's been some murders, they found some bodies, they found a maniac who's biting people, you know, there's some kind of weird creature that's f***ed up John's dog, we need to go deal with that. Oh no, let's put a spot team. Turns out it's a BOW. Shocker.
I want to see Harry going home after work and interacting with his family, you know, before they're kidnapped. This kind of stuff.
And in this current age as well of Resident Evil, where their characterization is so important and they're putting so much work into it, yeah, that would really help. It would really help, right? And it would appease the fans too. Like, you know, because we're all crying for more information about these characters. We don't want any more on Leon or Chris, right? We want more, you know, information. And you can do that in a series.
I mean, I'd love to see Raccoon City in the daylight when normal people are around, just to see what the city was like before the crisis. Yeah. Yeah. You know, seeing Chris and Jill bitching about work in a cafe umbrella outside of some fancy joint. And I go, coffee's nice, isn't it? There's like the outbreak characters, you know, you could have, it doesn't necessarily have to center around the STARS members. It can be like someone in the regular populace whose life is affected by the events. Maybe not so necessarily lead up to one, but between one and two, as the city's going to shit. My name's Jeff and I'm working as a cleaner at down Woolworths and it's all going really crazy. Did you see Diane last night? She was dragging something weird home, weren't she? She saw her ears hanging off. A slice of life leading in. They did it sort of in the start of Edge Runners with, I can't remember the main protagonist's name, but he's like, he's got a really shitty life, and you see that day to day aspect of it before it all really kicks off into an adventure. I want to see people being people in the Resident Evil universe.
Yeah, you see Irons, you know, adorning his office, adding a new piece of taxidermy to his office and stuff. I played the RoboCop game recently, which is superb, and it's like you see RoboCop, like a few people have mentioned it, but for those that don't know, there's a quest in the game where you're just getting a get well soon card signed for your colleague and you're taking it around the office, and it's just like, it's so kind of thematically and visually accurate to the movie that you buy it, you know, you watch it. I didn't think it was stupid. It's like, oh yeah, actually. And you think about Hot Fuzz, you know, the joke that Simon Pegg makes, it's like, you're not going to do all this stuff without carrying a massive amount of paperwork. It's like, let's see what was happening and how this was all working before started to hit the fan. It does that. It gives us that characterization, which James talked about. It builds the world. It's just, for me, it's these games, these stories are so rich, but have always, as I've said, felt inconsistent throughout the games, and we felt like we're missing stuff. I'm all for revisiting the old stories, and you know, Capcom could say, you know, this now is canon if they want to. I know that pisses some people off, but for me, it doesn't matter. I just want to see it. I just want to see the stuff that I love, but get more. And I don't think there's any harm in doing that, because you can say, well, no, we want new stories. And I, you know, like what you talked about, James, with the employee. Yes, we can still have new characters and new stories within this, with cameos from the main cast, and do this, that, and the other. Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of thinking even widely now, but even just in terms of production wise, you know, going animated means let's bring in voice actors, you know, that are that we know and love, and it solves that problem as well. And I just can't, I can't find a single reason not to do this.
So I've also made the same note that you two have made as well, which is I want an event before, during, and after.
Yeah,
and a season is perfect for that, right? Yeah. Or a couple. You know, and you know, you were talking about canon, Kells. You know, of course, you don't want to, you know, mess about with the community. But when you do something like that, you're not really messing with the canon, and you can do it and not mess with the canon too much.
You can cheat with Ari, can't you? You just have Brad's POV for the first time ever. Yeah. And it's just like,
You know, I mean, people might read a little bit too into a certain scene or whatever, you know, you're going to get that anyway, but it's, you don't need, because I think that's why Capcom are a bit scared to go a little bit too in depth with their world building, is because like they might be a little bit afraid of what their community will do, or what the future will hold, you know, for Resident Evil if they do go a little bit too deep into it, like which is why they are constantly going into the past and kind of digging more out, you know, instead of thinking about, you know, how they could connect some like current links that they should be. I mean, we're always crying about what the heck happened after Raccoon City, you know, we don't know. You know, and just having a series that would just, you don't need to make it an action flick. You know, it can have its action, but make it, you don't need to make it a video game either.
That's the tedious thing, isn't it? Because you put the words Resident Evil on anything that isn't the games, and they always have to be action, 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 action. And yet one of the best bits of fan content I've ever seen is that Arclay Dave the show, which is like mostly just build up an atmosphere and tension, you know, the mystery of it. Sorry, camera's being a bit of a pain. This rant coming from blurry, Steve. But the slow burn aspect is essential. Like, most of the best moments in ARIA, when you're wandering around, you've just read a really messed up note, like, oh no, this guy's gone itchy and tasty. And then there's a moment of dread before the zombie jumps out, and then there's not another 42 zombies after it in Gun Catafu. Like, we love killing monsters, sure. We love seeing groovy monsters, sure, but there is mystery.
Completely.
That's important too.
To me, that is like the most important thing. And you know, we've said it before. We know what Resident Evil pulls from, and we know that the X-Files is a big part of it. And it's just, so I think, yeah, basically, I just want an animated X-Files that is Resident Evil instead, that has the mythology there, and it unfolds, and there are questions. There's these people that sort of slide in. You think of the cigarette smoking man. Yes, who's this man? And he would be somebody that's connected to Umbrella, that's in and out. X-Files did Monster of the Week. Sometimes there was episodes where not a lot happened action-wise, and we could do this, but then you could have an episode where it's like, okay, so now we're in the middle of the season, and they're deep in the mansion, and this is all about the discovery of the Hunter, and they got to deal with that for that episode. And you don't need all the monsters all at once, just focus on the Hunter, and you find, and there's a flashback to the Hunter being created and stuff like that. It's all there to do. And I think about the structure of something like X-Files, you know, which is basically like, yeah, Jill and Chris and Mulder and Scully, and it's just the monsters, and it's there. And
give us the survival horror.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, and X-Files was campy. We could have some campy stuff, but I think once you lean back into this animated style that we've all talked about, it instantly gains so much horror and atmosphere just by going that route. Because when I watch, you know, D-Generation, or what's the recent one, Death Island, yeah, I'm, like, having fun, but I'm not scared. It's just, it's all gun-fu. Look at that big weapon. Look at that reference. Look at that witty line. Isn't it nice to see the characters? I'm not sat there like, oh, this is some tense atmosphere, because there's no moments to breathe in any of those movies. There's maybe one or two here and there to give it its credit, but it's not enough. I want, like you said, James, bring back that survival horror, and Steve, bring back that mystery. You think about Resident Evil 1, the game. It is a mystery game, you know, it's survival horror, but there's so much mystery, and that slow unfurling of what's going on and discovering that there was this secret lab and, you know, and Wesker has been double-crossing you. It's just, it's why it was so effective, because, I mean, it was so ahead of its time. It had no right to kind of be as clever as it was being. And yeah, and it's on the table to do for an animated series, so.
Give it to
Hurry
to
up, Capcom.
Yeah. What the heck?
Right, okay, so yeah, we've covered the main thing. Any more thoughts? James, do you want to add anything else? Any other wish lists? What do you really want to see before we start to wrap this puppy up?
I think I've said everything I needed to say. Like, I just, yeah, make it a series. Give us.
We could have that Rebecca Chambers-centric episode, you know?
You can make it slice of life if you want to, like, but, you know, it's perfect. It's just, as you keep saying, Kels, like, it's a perfect media, like, for Resident Evil, and it's just, I just don't understand why it's not been done yet. Just please, Capcom, give it to us. We're begging.
Yes.
Maybe don't use Netflix, but, like, I don't... but, please give it to us.
I mean, they've got a good relationship with Netflix, in fairness, so we may have not liked Dragon's Dogma or Onimusha.
It's not really that. I don't want to get political, but it's not really that reason why I'm saying that. But
okay.
Steve, yeah. Anything else to add? You know, what is there an episode you really want to see, or any characters? Because even just think, like I said, we talked a lot about the origins and the early days, but you know, we could jump ahead, even think about things like Village and Castle Dimitrescu and stuff. That screams that style in the gothic noir horror. You know, what, any other thoughts?
There are so many cool threads you can pull on this. Like, I feel like seeing what happens after Alpha Team initially get back. You know, they're all like scorched, burnt, and battle hardened from the mansion incident. That would be a fun time. Leon's like first day trying to look for Ashley, trying to go through like a web of lies and deceit to figure out, oh, you're actually in this, like, you know, but Baku beyond shithole village you need to go to. But first, you have to go and investigate people in Spain, go to the authorities, maybe a bit of web of intrigue kind of thing going on. You know, oh, it turns out it's this cool. Oh, no, Krauser might have done it. Oh, no, fucking hell. Yeah, that as a mystery would be interesting. Chris dealing with the trauma of losing Jill and having to find out how to figure out where the fuck Irving is in RE5. Again, fun thread to pull on. Like, those kind of, like, interval stories where stuff has obviously happened that we have not seen, I feel, are more what I would want to see than, you know, a retelling of the mansion incident wholly. Like, if you want to do the mansion incident, it has to be from anyone who isn't a playable POV character. Like, you can have Rebecca do stuff, you can have Brad do stuff, you can have Wesker do stuff, Barry, but not Jill or Chris. Like, they have to be, like, incidental characters, at least in my opinion, because players will go, well, I didn't do that. I didn't do that bit. I speedrun around the zombies, I do, because I'm really good. And they get tetchy about the lore in the first place, so make sure it's as skirting around lore-accurate moments as it can.
Yeah, and adding your own... Adding your own lore in there if you want to, like little bits. You know,
but they all have terrible accents I make up all the time.
They're all from the Midlands. Yeah. We don't know why.
Do you know what? You know, again, as I said, we focused on the origins, but you mentioned Resident Evil 4 there. And another thing I've said before is how Resident Evil 4 always felt like, you know, a spin-off comic book in the Resident Evil world. You think about, like... you know, when Batman is in, you know, like a steampunk, you know, universe, or what isn't there like one where like Batman is in like 1900s, London or something like that. It's like, it makes no sense, but that's amazing. And I want to see that. And as someone who has like a weird relationship with Resident Evil 4, I'm like, this would just make me enjoy that story so much more. If you think about Sadler and Krauser, it's again the broodingness of Krauser and how that fits with this style that we've been talking about. It's just, I don't know, I'm just gobsmacked that this doesn't exist. If us three idiots can talk about this and like how is it not a thing, you know? So
a great opener to a show, right? A season 4, Resident Evil 4 show. Okay, just going to pitch it to you, okay? It's silhouetted Dark Knight. It's outside the White House or wherever college, you know, Ashley's at. It's raining. You know, Krauser gets out of a car. That's it. You know exactly what's happened, and it smash cuts to Leon at his desk drinking because he's got a problem. He has to go find the president's daughter. You know, has to actually do the legwork and figure out where the fuck she's gone. Not so much just, I'm in Spain now. Cool.
So Kels, you reminded me just shortly here. Mm. You reminded me also, which is a point I forgot to put down. But yeah, crossovers and kind of getting a little bit weird with it. Comics have done that for years. In fact, right now I'm reading the Predator versus Wolverine. You know, and it's really good, guys. Like, it's like, and it's good because of the writing. It's good because it's so bright and colorful, but also terrifying and gruesome and gross to look at, right? And comics, what media are they next to? So you can do that like easily.
This is it.
And they've got into comics, you know, as well. Yeah. We literally do comic club, you know, when we talk about that stuff. Again, it's just bamboozles his mind why they haven't done it.
I mean, if you were to go non-canon, completely non-canon, and you could probably do a Capcom universe show. There is enough wild, crazy threads that you could throw the Resident Evil characters into. You know, easiest one's Ace Attorney, because that's just, you know, the lore. Then you've got Time Crisis. Not Time Crisis, sorry. Dino Crisis. Onimusha, I guess, as a prequel series. It was originally going to be like Sengoku Biohazard. The realms of demons and magic and things might be a bit of a stretch, but there is definitely the room for a Capcom animated universe. Street Fighter, obviously, will probably take too much of the limelight because it always f***s. I'm sorry. I'm done with Ryu and Chun-Li. Okay. Sorry, Capcom. They're a bit dull.
It's so funny that we got this far in the episode with actually not mentioning comic books, because you're completely right, James. It's like, that's half the work done there, Capcom. Mm. All right, to yourself.
Oops, I muted myself.
Oh, there you go. What did you say?
I said, like, it's right there. You've got Flying Penguin, Terrifying Man. You know, you got wow. You know, he's terrifying. He's so scary. You know, but I mean, imagine if you. I mean, you've seen Batman's Penguin. You know, you know. It could be terrifying, but anyway, yeah, it's right there. You know, I think we're doing on its comic club soon as well, and I'm excited for it. But yeah, it's right there. Just come on, Capcom, come on,
do it. Petition officially started here today.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Let's wrap this up. Nothing else remains from us today than to say thank you to everyone for watching or listening. Let us know what your thoughts are on an animated, not CG, Resident Evil series in the comments, and why it should definitely happen and why we are right. And let's make it happen, Capcom. What else? Check out our Patreon for exclusive first looks at our content. Subscribe on YouTube for more. Listen to our podcasts on all good podcasting services out there. And in the words of our wise CEO, have a good week in it. Bye.
Bye.